racial barriers. Escape the hatred, cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various. Remember all God's children remain various.
Hip-hop isn't what hip-hop was, cause hip-hop's reflected by what hip-hop does.
Okay.
And current MCs claim that it's not love, cause nowadays hip-hop ain't shit but a bunch of thugs. They wanna be what Tupac would speak, ignoring his words were to get you off the street. You may have brought the heat, but it was brought with honesty. Now it's obsolete, cause of these whack-ass mockeries. Acting someone else to me feels ignorant. You could be as real as him, but still be different. I've never been shot at or even seen a million, but we're similar, cause we speak to Rita's children. I'm not from the projects or ever been to prison, but I've been oppressed by the man's federal system. Skeptical as they take away from my day-to-day living, but understand, it goes both ways. Racism,
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred, cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred, cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various. Ain't no Eminem and I won't pretend to be. This ain't meant for him, nor is it meant for me. It's expressed to those who hate by labeling. Haters better get to know me before you say these things. Enabling these fake fucks to grow and build. I'm judging a man by color, not the growth of his skills. I'm scoping to kill any corporate businesses who promote racism split too, cause they're different. Ignorance is bliss, but don't exist when I'm ripping shit. And don't think I won't get at you cause I'm melanin deficient. I'm not rich yet, but I possess the right equipment to lift your images, prove your bitch too timid. Too sick to swim with, like I spit the illest liquid. So when I give the gift, listen before you start dissing. Cause this is hip hop, a multicolored prison. No more bullshitting, just knowledge turn wisdom.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various. You can fight for freedom or fight for what you believe in, but contradiction is what keeps the fight even. What you hate in someone else is something you hate in yourself. And when you're hating yourself, you're just breaking your health. Might be making your wealth, but you're just mistaking yourself. What's the greatness when only hatred is felt? This fight is ageless and it's embracing the belt. Which side are you taking at the ring of the bell? Good and evil in different hoods and people looks. All deceitful book covers aren't always see-through. You should read through the book before passing the judgment. The color of my skin only distracts away from my substance. May this be the only song I ever have to come with, cause racism is a subject that most can't stomach. I suppose that's cause it's degrading one another. In the end, please present me by my culture, not my color.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various. We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us. Remember all God's children remain various.
We the people need to break the racial barriers. Escape the hatred cause we came from different areas. Too much shame and blame, it will only bury us.
Remember all God's children remain various.
Remember all God's children remain various.
Hello, everyone. This is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly, coming to you from live from Las Vegas, here in Nevada, of course, the Sin City. God, I was just in a heavy discussion while listening to that great song by Omni, Hip Hop with No Racial Barriers. And speaking of Omni, he will be on my show on the 24th of October, prior to his debuting show here in Las Vegas, which I'll get you details. I believe it's the first Friday of November. And, you know, he's going to start playing a whole bunch of his works coming through this month. He's going to be for me some of his unreleased music, which I look forward to. And speaking of shows and things coming up, I'm really excited because I got a lot of very fascinating guests coming on. We're going to have some interesting conversations. I'm going to have, in 2 weeks from today, on the 24th of September, I'm going to have a very special guest, Magid Ben Yosef, who we'll be discussing his theology of the tribe of Joseph, you know, Joseph from the Bible, and how it relates to today in Israel and today's Middle East politics, and his situation, what he believes regarding Samaria and Judea, which is also known as the West Bank areas. It'll be fascinating, and, of course, with my dialogue, it'll be always a little controversy. And on October 10th, I'm having a really fascinating guest. I'm looking forward to that. James Taylor, who is author of the book, The Assumptions. It deals directly with utilizing quantum physics in a practical side of spirituality. That's sort of a quasi of what it's dealing with. I'm looking forward to that because that's mainly a lot of things that I see when I picture and view things around our universe and our world in a spiritual sense. I look at that in that framework. So I can't wait to talk to him and get his expertise on that information. Also, on my side, I have a few announcements. I'm lining up a lot of, if you happen to be in Vegas, in the next October through Christmas, I will be having a lot of signing events. So here's just a few that have already been confirmed. So if you're out here in Las Vegas through the month of October, November, December, but here's the ones I have up to now. In October 4th, I will be at Borders, and that's from 1 to 4 at 2190 North Rainbow, and that's the cross streets of Rainbow and Lake Mead. And of course, that'll be for my book, The Heretic, sequel to When the Angels Have Risen. And of course, you can always check that out at andrewtheheretic.com. And also, I will be in October 18th, that's also Saturday, at between 1 and 4 as well, at Borders, on the 2323 South Decatur, and that is on Decatur and Sahara. I will also be on October 25th at the Psychic Eye Bookstore at 6840 West Charleston. I'll be there from 1 to 5. And then on November 15th, which has also been just recently confirmed, I will be at the Borders at Town Square. And if you don't know where that is, it's at 6521 Las Vegas Boulevard. It's way down on the south side. It's almost hitting toward the 215. Just ask anybody. You'll see it. It's a rather large mall area or whatever. But I'll be there. And do come and... you want to talk to me or whatever, you know, love to meet new people, and especially when I hear meet people who have been listening to my show. And also, by the way, I want to thank all my listeners and past listeners and future listeners, as well as the producers here at BBS Radio for putting up my show. And, you know, and also, I forgot to tell you, if you guys ever have any questions, comments, please do send your emails over. I always try to respond as quickly as possible, and my email address is flyingpigs@artlover.com, and or you can contact me at myspace/AndrewFetter. And if you please do check out any of my past shows regarding whether it's Kabbalah, whether out of body, regression, thoughts or things, free energy, politics, religion, past guests, please do check them out. And, you know, love hearing you guys, y'all. First, before I get into the meat of my show, I do want to, because yesterday was 9/11, been 7 years since the tragedy occurred, and I just want to give out and tell, let everybody know my thoughts and prayers are out there, and I always think about that situation, about that tragedy. So my thoughts and prayers are out to those who have perished due to that, extraordinary tragedy. As well as my thoughts and prayers are also going to go out to the families and friends that were affected indirectly or indirectly or directly from 9/11, as well as those who are still suffering the physical and or mental anguishes to 9/11. And of course the rescue workers and the people who volunteered and the firemen and policemen and all those who were greatly affected by it. Again, my thoughts and prayers good to you all. It's hard to even talk about that when I think about it every time. Just basically God bless y'all. Anyway, I want to get back to why I got into politics. And you're probably wondering how what was my reference to about choices and things and about things of today. In fact, I had a lively discussion with my producer just prior to listening to Omni's song. The reason why I got in politics, I've always been situated and interested in politics to a somewhat level, you know, one way or another, whether it's Middle East or United States, worldly, you know, sort of written things, but I was not as much compelled or passionately involved until the year 2000 when George W. Bush became president, and the way the circumstance he became president and not allowing people, allowing the votes to be counted, and it seemed such a manipulation of the process. Now, as an American, and those people listening from the world, this is, to me, un-American what had happened, and I think it's every, not just a privilege, it's a right for every American to vote, and if their vote was not counted, it disavows any authority of a government to exist. It has to be, you know, as far as in a democracy, so it just, you know, to me it was unbelievable what had happened. So then, in fact, that's when I wrote and compelled me to write When the Angels Have Risen, and I incorporated, and I realized the incorporation between spirituality and politics, which a lot of people don't like to mix the two. In fact, you'll find a lot of people who deal with spiritual elements do not like or let's say pull back or don't even discuss or pull back out being find themselves not being politically correct if they don't, or one way or the other. They do not like to discuss politics within spirituality, which to me is sort of nonsense. That is going against the theme of spirituality, because politics is your action. It is the physical action on this planet of your spiritual side. And what I mean is, you know, I've always discussed in past shows about choice, whether you go make a choice of a circumstance, whether you choose to go toward a dark path or to an enlightened path toward the light. That is a finite, that's an absolute. You either make a choice to go to one side to do something negative to the dark side, or something toward the positive to something of the light. And the same circumstance is when you make a choice in politics, when you push that lever or push that button, you've made a circumstance, or even lack of, if you choose not to make a choice, that has a ripple effect on the universe and on your spiritual sense and your spiritual essence, whether you go toward walking toward the light or toward the dark as your motion, whether you're at that moment your energy is heading toward that direction, and not getting too philosophical on the spiritual side, but that is a definite, you know, where we are. So my question to the American people who are out there, who are listening, or perhaps will be listening, is, in our circumstance today, since the year 2000, where direction have we gone? Have we gone walking toward the light, where people are becoming less narcissistic, more caring, growing, learning? We've become more of a positive, a beacon, or we've become more negative? We've become more narcissistic, anti to our own physical world, including the environment. Have we come to the point where it's been very negative? And what are the results of that negativity for the last 8 years, that dark side? Well, I believe that in the United States, when we had chosen or not we chose, but I guess we allowed the choice, so he was chosen by us, George W. Bush, to be president in 2000. That was a dark choice. That was heading into the dark direction. And though George Bush had the opportunity on 9/11 where people were united, he was handed by the universe a silver platter to make a choice. Like in all circumstances, we do make choices. Where the our world was unified, people were caring about each other. We were like a united. We were trying to move forward, and the people around the world had empathy for our circumstances. And what did he do? He destroyed it in an instant. Instead of taking that platter and moving toward light, he went to the dark. And it showed you where his vibration level was. He was a man who went to the dark. He chose darkness. He chose that path. Him, Cheney, McCain, the Republicans for the last 8 years have brought our nation into the dark ages. It is a look at the circumstances of today. They can't lie to you. They can't bullshit you. They can't tell you a bunch of BS crap that what has happened in the last 8 years. Where were we before that? They have taken, walked down the steps of toward darkness. They have chosen a narcissistic approach, a selfish, self-centered approach. I'm talking about Bush. I'm talking about Cheney. I'm talking about all the Republicans who had control of the Congress. I'm talking about John McCain. I'm even talking to Palin because she's part of the same thing. She is the same as Ted Stevens. That's who, by the way, popped her up. So her connection, which I will get into later. They had created that. So we had to endure this darkness. And it's now the opportunity, the time, for the American people to stand up and look to the future and say, no, we want real hope and real change and not no BS, bullshit, crap that they're trying to throw at us. Again, you know, we aren't stupid, we aren't ignorant. We ain't some dumb hicks, we aren't some stupid woman. We're not some stupid, ignorant men who don't understand anything. They think you are. They think you're a fool. They think they could fool you 2,000 and BS us into allowing their situation to create and their empowerment into our government. They can BS us again in 2004, and now they're taking that same damn wrecked car and shoving it down us again and repainting it and telling you it's reform and change. This is the great, these are the used car salesman approach. They are the used car salesman. That's McCain and Palin telling you because they think you're stupid. They think you're ignorant. They will repeat lies and lies and lies over and over thinking that you don't understand. But American people understand that. When they say, I was against the Bridge to Nowhere, and now we find she was for it. When McCain says, I was against, I'm not like Bush, but in his own words, he says he's 90% behind Bush and has voted 90% of the time of Bush. And his basic thing is his basic economic platform and his foreign policy is identical to Bush. But he'll call it, paint it reform and change. Reform and change what? When you ask them, when they consistently ask them, because they're lying to you. They took a beat-up car. They painted it over now with a new color, and with a new coat, and it's the same damn car, because it's the same Bush car that we've been driving for the last 8 years. It's the same crap. And they're trying to fool you. And this is when I talk on the spiritual side, because I do not like people who throw things, because this is so negative and so dark. They're going to take you down further. You think it's bad now? They will take you further down. And now the universe has given you this opportunity called vote. Your opportunity to stand up and say, we see through all your crap. And likewise, I say, who's the better car? And I say it's the Obama car. He has brought into his picture. He's had the experience being a community organizer of like Jesus in a sense. Not that he's a great, enlightened person and all that stuff, but his own actions show that he is a man of the people. That he deeply cares. He came from the same circumstance. He wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth and said, I don't understand economics, I don't understand your situation. He lived it. He knows it. He knows what every average American has been going through, every person in this country. And what his plan is, giving us prosperity and economics, bring us back to a situation where we are not in the hole in the deficit, that people have jobs, to really focus on energy, not say drill, 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 and BS you about that, because that's not going to change the energy system. That's the old system. And by the way, who's been in the government for the last 20, 30 years is John McCain, and he has consistently voted against every single time against a new alternative approach to energy, while obviously voting consistently for tax exemptions to the oil companies so they have to pay less taxes. Obama will give us a real universal care, because universal care is not a privilege, it's a right. He will produce a real energy policy that gets us off this thing called oil. That's what's real. That's what's changed. Why do you think people are moving toward that direction? Even young people realize it. There's an energy there they comprehend. It is not just a circumstance. Because the future sees that. A future of hope, enlightenment, and walking toward the light. That is walking toward the light. And I'll say it again. McCain, in his own words, he said he voted 90% of the times for George W. Bush. So he's 90% of Bush. And that's what we'll get, God forbid, if he's president, will be another Bush policy for 4 years. And we cannot live with that. Now, you hear all the time that McCain and calls himself, and along with Palin, they're the change candidates. Give me a break. You know what the word, they call it some conservative. You know what conservative means? Conservative means not to change, to remain the same. So how can they be change and reform when their own label, conservative, means to remain the same, to conserve, to remain where you're at, or even go backwards? And it's ironic that they call the liberal or progressive. They call Obama, he's a liberal, he's a progressive. Well, liberal technically means someone who's open-minded, looking open to change. Progressive means to look forward, to grow and move forward, progress. Which would you say, which is going toward the light? Someone who's liberal-minded to change or to progress, or somebody who wants to be conservative and remain the same? See, it's clear. You can slap a little paint, call it compassionate conservative, call it reform conservative, it's still conservative. It's very clear. McCain and Palin are the product of corruption and lies, ignorance, selfishness, deceit, incompetence, the same crap that's been going on for the last 8 years. Look what's pouring out like drip, 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 drip from Palin. Her manipulation of her own power to fire a police commissioner because of her own family affairs. Her own, she says she is like taking, I'm a reformer, but she's billing, getting money for her own dean while she's living at a DM, while she's living at home. She paid herself. She sent her husband and her kids traveling around, and guess who paid that? The taxpayers. She ain't changed. She's the same. And by the way, you know how she got in power? They don't even like talking about it. But Ted Stevens. She was part of Ted Stevens, entourage. And we all know about Ted Stevens, how corrupt he is. I'm not even getting into the earmarks, because it's all the same. Everybody knows about, you can go on and on. I mean, the records are clear of McCain and Palin. I mean, it's like looking at it, you can shake and put dirt in it. I still see the water, and so do you. You know, like I said, McCain has been a senator for over 20 years, and here are some what I'll just explain to you real briefly some of the actions and some of the things he's done. You know, and people, I mean, there might be listeners out there who don't know this because they probably weren't even born then or they're probably very little. But I remember during the 80s and late 70s, you know, I had a Bing account, and it was when I was a little kid, 13 years old, I opened a bank account at Lincoln Savings, you know. And luckily, a year before it went down, I had yanked out my money. Now, what I'm talking about Lincoln Savings over way back then, it was because if you look up, you know, when it went down, it was ran by a guy named Keaton, who, by the way, happened to be extremely close friends with McCain. You know? It was like the Enron of the day, if you look up. People remember that, what happened. It was definitely the Enron of the day. I mean, he had manipulated and got involved with junk bonds and falsely, there's a whole kinds of stuff he did with his finances and loans and stuff. It was an SLA, you know. I mean, here, I'll read off our brief on what was the circumstance with McCain and him. And you talk about corruption. I mean, this is history, and this is from Slate Magazine, February 2000, and it was written, quote-unquote, early 1987, the beginning of his first Senate term, McCain attended two meetings with federal banking regulators to discuss an investigation into Lincoln Savings and Loan and Irvine, California thrift owned by Arizona developer Charles Keating. Federal auditors were investigating Keating's banking practices, and Keating, fearful that the government would seize his SLA, sought intervention by a number of U.S. senators to prevent it, including John McCain. Ring a bell now? That's what John McCain is. He's a damn, he's corrupt, dude. You know, I mean, come on. You know, and look at what he's done, like I said, for the last 20 years. McCain has consistently voted against raising fuel standards. Yeah, look at it. Consistently. He's voted consistently against alternative energy. For 20 years. You think he's going to change that? Come on. He's just patronizing you, telling you bullshit that he's going to change it, but he ain't going to change nothing. Yeah, he'll drill like, because every time he drills, he gets another little check from the oil companies into his coffers. You know, McCain has also in the last 20 years voted consistently for tax increase exemptions, meaning so that oil companies don't have to pay less taxes, again, while filling its coffer with his oil money. You think Bush was an oil man? What the hell you think McCain is? He is an oil man. He's bought and sold. He's a product of the oil man. You know, and here's an example of why he's such an oil man. Do you remember when he came out, drill, drill, drill? First, he was not so much inclined for drilling off the, you know, off the coast of our nation's waters. And suddenly, he came out, drill, drill, drill. And it was conveniently when he said that, guess what he got? $1 million bonus. Yeah, from the oil companies. And for all the women out there who, oh my God, you know, I think I like to vote for John McCain, you know, he's like, you know, he's got a woman now, vice president. Come on. You think he respects you as a woman? She's a Barbie doll for him. It was a facade, a package to manipulate you, because they think, like I said, you're stupid. You're an ignorant woman. That's what he thinks. Come on. He voted against equal pay for a woman. That tells you what he thinks of you as a woman. He thinks you are less than a man. That's right. He thinks you are less than a man. How can you say, I'm not going to give this woman equal pay as a man doing the same thing? That only reason is because you think a man is better than a woman. Think about it. So any woman who votes for John McCain has agreed to take a 25% pay cut. You know what? Take your if you vote for John McCain and you're a woman, I suggest you take that 25% of your money and send it. Take it away. It's not yours. Look what he says about, I'm not talking, I'm going to talk about the theology of abortion, right to life, when it, the baby's conceived or not conceived, because that is a personal thing. That's why I am for the right to choose, not pro-abortion, there's a difference, right to choose. So the woman herself can choose, because I cannot tell her, it's her own spiritual decision and dilemma whether to keep the baby or not to keep the baby, or a fetus, or whatever you determine at its moment. Because it's not our choice. It's not a man's choice. And he's against a woman to choose. Again, see, it's pure and simple. I don't want to get into the religious framework. I mean, look at, Obama is against abortion on a theological sense, but he respects a woman's right to choose on that. Same thing Biden. He's a devout Catholic, but he respects the right for a woman to choose. I just have to say, I guess John McCain thinks a man is better to tell her what to do with her body, because obviously he thinks a woman is less. I mean, it to me, it's like, why don't we just put a veil on you and make you walk 10 paces behind every man? Because that's what he thinks. He doesn't respect a woman. I mean, you can go look on how many times he's made degrading remarks about women in the past, about Hillary Clinton, and that's supposed to be his best friend, close friend, supposedly. I've heard him. Who do you think, anyway. And then about fiscal responsibility and economics. Come on. That's a total joke when it comes to John McCain. I mean, he's even acknowledged that he doesn't know anything about economics. I mean, you can Google it. There's YouTube stuff that he says, quote unquote, I'm not aware of what, I'm paraphrasing, understanding of economics. That's not his expertise. And this is the guy that wants to be president, the CEO of our corporation called the United States of America, our great nation, who's right now an economic disaster. Right? Let me put it this way, in the beginnings of an economic disaster, but it is an economic disaster when people are losing their homes, losing their jobs, losing health care, don't know where to turn to, whether it's a single mom, the hockey mom, the soccer mom, who's got to look at her bills and not knowing that she still will have a job, that the prices of food, clothing, shelter are going to go up, her energy costs are going up, and you want a guy who has no understanding of economics to help you? That's what he talks about. Why he's never presented a plan. How can he present a plan when he doesn't know anything about economics? I mean, like I said, and the only thing he has expressed when it comes toward economics is keeping the consistent Bush plan. He seems to want to maintain the Bush economic plan, and we've seen 8 years of what the Bush economic plan has created. Here's an example of where McCain comes from. Like I said, he doesn't care about you. Look what his own advisor says. He thinks us Americans are a bunch of damn whiners when it comes to economics. There's no problem with the situation. The fundamentals are good, according to him. They are. It's fundamentally good when you have an increase of unemployment. It's fundamentally good when we have the largest national deficit in history. It's economically sound when prices are shooting up in the air, that the people are losing health care, losing jobs, there's massive foreclosures. If you didn't know that this was the year 2008, and you pulled all the circumstances, you could swear this is like almost the beginning of 1929 before the Depression. Yep. Has all those elements. People starting to lose their jobs, foreclosures left and right, the government not being stable, stock market going down, energy prices off the rocket. And by the way, part of the biggest reason why energy costs are so far up is because the dollar, the value of the dollar is down, which is correlated, and I think I've mentioned it many times before in prior shows, due to the our fiscally sound government, which is now in such a $1 trillion deficit. And by the way, when Bush took over, it was in the positive. That means it was plus. It had money in the bank. But he thinks we're a bunch of damn whiners. So are we going to repeat the same incompetence as Bush had done? We're going to be worse with McCain. You know, McCain thinks you can eat cake. That's his thing. While the top wealthy 1% get wealthier. Because that's what he thinks. And you think Palin is any different? She thinks the same thing. She's riding the coattails. Gave herself money, I'm sure she's going to get lined up with a whole lot of little freebies in her package playing ball. I mean, come on. She's Ted Stevens' bitch. Literally. I mean, she was the one who was, I mean, look, all the lobbyists and earmarks that she sent, and you don't think, look, I wonder what, if somebody looked at her financial situation, how it changed from being a hockey mom till now, and how wealthy she is now. I'm wondering. I bet you it's off the rocket, you know, come on. Now let's go about foreign policy. You know, all I can say is McCain, if you look at him, and it's sort of surprising, not surprisingly, it's sort of indifferent, but he still wants to keep our brave military men and women in harm's way for the next 100 years in Iraq. Even if the people of Iraq say, hey, you know what? Please leave our country. I mean, they've said it. Maliki, you heard him. Maliki leave in within, you know, what, 13 months or whatever it was, a year and a half, which is sort of ironic because it was the same time period that Barack Obama has talked about. I mean, come on. He still thinks, you know, after being, we've been lied to and manipulated, and the facts are real. Even their own, Bush's own spokesperson had written a book and acknowledged that we as American people have been manipulated. Even with a Downing Street memo, clearly says Bush was going to manipulate and lie to us to get us into a war, a fraudulent war of lies and deceit. And there was never any nukes or any production of radioactive material or any chemicals or weapons of mass destruction, which is all fabricated. He thinks it was the right thing to do. And you know, I feel really sad. You know, my son is right now in the Air Force. And I think all those people out there who have kids in the Army or in the military, you know, whether it's even fathers, sons, sisters, brothers, you know what? They're putting their life in stake, and they have to do it no matter what. And they're supposed to be out there protecting our country, like the ones who attacked us, like, you know, that are in Afghanistan, not Iraq. They've never attacked us. Has Iraq attacked us? No. Speaking of that, that's called, you know, the it was funny, the other day I heard Palin, he shows how she's ready to be, if God forbid something happens to McCain, to be ready to be a president of the United States when she doesn't even know the Bush Doctrine. Now, I don't expect everybody out there to know what the Bush Doctrine is, but, you know, most people who are, whether in history or in schools and professors, and I'm sure the kids in high school and maybe for sure in college would know what the Bush Doctrine, and I know that if you are in the Senate or in the government, and they're trying to be, and you're aware of foreign affairs, know the famous, or called infamous, Bush Doctrine, where we have the right, which is in a speech of year 2002 in September, I don't forget the exact date, where we have the right to preemptive strike if we think somebody might attack us. That was called the Bush Doctrine. And Palin didn't even know what it was. And prior, Charlie Gibson was dumbfounded. He's like, and you're going to be our president? Anyway, getting back to the foreign policy of McCain, since obviously Palin doesn't even know where probably the difference between a Shiite or a Sunni is, or what the hell, where Iraq is. Probably she has to keep being shown where it is on a map. So I'll discuss what McCain's expertise. You know, some people say the most important thing is experience of foreign policy and governments. You know, and they forget the most important thing is judgment. You know, making the correct decision. Because you're going to get advisors, not just your own expertise, advisors. Besides what you know, things people told you, and you're going to look through that information and make the correct decision. You're like a judge. And you know, consistently, Obama has been right every single time. It's like amazing. He's made the correct judgment. I'm not saying he is, you know, Jesus Christ or some God or Moses or whatever, but the man has got it right. And Bush, of course, we know has got it wrong, and so has John McCain. I mean, come on, even the American people, 80% of them think that was a mistake to go in a war. I mean, come on, we're 80% are aware that we were lied and manipulated into this war. But McCain, still today, and including little Sarah, thinks that it was a good thing to do. Of course, she said it was a task for God, a holy war. Of course, and she backed off on that, but if you ever read it, actually see her little speech in church, it was a cause for a holy war. Almost sounded like, you know, the Pope can't get out the Crusades because we got to emancipate, bring freedom, bring the Christian way into the Middle East. That's scary when you have someone like that who's a heartbeat away from being our president. Anyway, but I guess it's okay for McCain that more American men and women, our brave military men and women, died for a lie. And it's okay for him that, I don't know if people realize, there are more of our military men and women in Iraq died than on 9/11. That is sickening. That is really sad. I mean, the Republicans, Bush, Cheney, and Palin, and McCain support, have created a situation that even Al-Qaeda couldn't even match. Think about it. One thing and boom, there's over 3,000 lives are done. And look in the last, how many years since we've been in Iraq? God, since 2003? Five years? And how many people have died? Look at on that approach. And they still think it's okay. You know, you talk about lobbyists. You know, apparently people forget who, you know, he says he's going to be a reformer of lobbyists, McCain is. And, you know, it's sort of ironic. What, is he going to fire all his campaign staff, his managers, you know? Who is he going to fire? Who's he going to reform? His entire, even his spokeswoman, by the way, is a lobbyist. You know, the only African her name is, but she's a lobbyist. Davis, his lead campaigner, is a lobbyist. And by the way, I don't know if you really know that Davis, his lead lobbyist, was also the lobbyist for Fannie Mae. You know, Fannie Mae that just went down. See the connection? McCain, lobbyist, Fannie Mae, financial disaster with a bank, Lincoln Savings, Keating. Do you see the picture? I can even draw the dots. Come on, it's so obvious. So I don't care what, you know, McCain and Palin are the same old lying corrupt politics. McCain, Palin is just another Bush Cheney. I mean, it's just that this Cheney has absolutely no experience and she wears lipstick. You know, and talk about, I'll go quickly over what, even for Palin, you know, because first they were, oh my God. And you can't talk about her. They're all afraid because, you know, when you talk and find out the real thing about her. And by the way, you know, it just amazes me how the media, need to really step up to the plate, because this is a woman who could possibly be, and no demeaning to our woman, I wish there was a woman in president. In fact, I was actually, you know, looking forward to maybe Hillary being a president or any comparable. You know what? Even the circumstance, it shows how John McCain is not a maverick. He could have picked a very experienced, a very knowledgeable woman named, and she is, I apologize if I can't remember her name right now. I'm sure you all know. You can look it up. She is the CEO of eBay, and they were talking about her being a possible candidate. She would have been, really, to me, scary just being there, because she had the most expertise in business and whatnot. And would be actually, surprisingly, a great possibly vice president and even future president for the Republican Party. But they sort of, you know, sold out. And he sold out because he is not a maverick like he approaches. I mean, if he was a real maverick, he probably would have picked even Joe Lieberman. Of course, he, you know, that would be maverick. But he wasn't maverick. You can see his actions. Anyway, back to Palin. You know, regarding her power, her foreign policy, he doesn't have any. She has no knowledge. Zero. You know, they bring out, she's on the border of Canada and Russia. Come on. That means the San Diego mayor has foreign affairs experience. And so does the mayor of El Paso, Texas, okay? Come on. She doesn't have any. You know, because, you know, and she lives within her own little bubble, just like John McCain. And like I said, she probably doesn't even know the difference between Shia or Sunni. You know, she's going to probably have, just like McCain, need a, like something like Joe Lieberman to stand behind him to tell her what foreign policy is. And, you know, and go, hey, you know what? This is, the Iranians did not train the Al-Qaeda. I remember that, and McCain said that. And then, of course, Joe Lieberman had to correct him and say, no, it's the Shiite. You know, Al-Qaeda is Sunni. In fact, they don't like each other. I mean, vehemently, where they even blow up each other's mosque, that tells you how much they hate each other. I mean, come on. Where's the truth? And I will tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. You know, like Palin was for the bridge to nowhere, now she, we find, after Congress was against it, I'm against it. But guess what? She kept all the money, right? And I bet you don't realize under Palin that Alaska receives more earmarks than any state in the nation per person. That's a fact. Check it out. You know? And when she was mayor, she sent lobbyists, and of course as a governor, lobbyists to Washington to get even more money and more earmarks. And I bet you people don't realize she was part, and they don't want to say she isn't, but she was, as a fact, she was part of a separatist movement that wanted to secede from the United States. I guess she doesn't feel like American. She feels like just an Alaskan. I guess that's why she wanted to send all those coffers, our money that we pay taxes to Alaska. You know, and talk about trimming the budget. I'll tell you what's about. She calls herself, a Christian. Well, when I see something say Christian, I respect people think of Jesus and all that. You know, when you take $400,000 that would be for education for kids to repair their schools and buses and whatnot, and asthma control for children, and you take that out, line out, that's what she did. That's not being Christian, caring for children. When you take $4.5 million from the schools repairing, that's not being Christian. Or $600,000 for senior citizens or for their housing, repairing their houses. Tell me, is this VP following Jesus Christ, caring for the children or poor and elderly? Hell no. I mean, she's closer to a Michael Vick. You know what? Anyone who enjoys the murder of animals, you know, like Michael Vick, when he, his brutality with dogs, you know, shooting them with, like, you know, whatever, electro, whatever, wetting them down, that's sick. That's borderline Jeffrey Dahmer. You know, it's okay to hunt for to eat. I mean, I was a kid, I used to go hunt with my dad, and, you know, my grandmother would, we'd hunt, like, rabbits and quail, and my grandmother would cook it, but that's eating it. But that's not even weird, but in today's, you know, our society now, we get it from the market. But But to murder simply for the enjoyment of murder, that's demented and sick in my eye view. I mean, that's heading toward the dark side, you know? Pawn, I mean, you claim you're a Christian and follow the teachings of Jesus, but you make fun of those who perform the role of community organizers. You know, Palin, I guess you need to read your Bible. Jesus Christ was a community organizer. And you know what? So was Martin Luther King and Gandhi, and so many others who work for an organized religion, such as the churches, the synagogues, and even along with secular people who do great work as community organizers. You know, I bet you Palin wouldn't even want to support Make the Wish Foundation. I know what you'd rather do. She actually put out $400,000 to hunt and murder bears and wolves from helicopters. Not for food, for sport. That's sick. You know, the more I hear of Palin, and her record, it's putrid. She makes, like, Cheney look like a damn angel. So that's the reality of Palin, that she's the golden girl now of the Republicans. She's evil, man. She's walking so dark, it's unreal. She makes Cheney look like an angel. That's how far she's walked to the dark path. She puts out her Elmer Gundry that she's all loving God. That's not loving God. That's not showing love to your fellow man. That's not showing care to the middle class or poor. You know, and the Bible says you're supposed to cut the corners of your fields. You know, the rich, or cut the corners of your fields to feed the poor. It's right there. To cut the corners and feed the poor. She's anti that. She's anti helping the unprivileged. You know, and like I said, you could put wings on an elephant. It's still an elephant. And I don't care what McCain or Palin do. They can change the name, you know, and call it change. They can make a lie and call it reform. But you know what? McCain or change, like I'm a damn country singer. And believe me, I'm not a country singer. And I sure you don't want to hear me sing. And like I said, Republicans, McCain, Palin, think the American people are stupid and fools. They really do. You know, they think like I said, they fooled you in 2000, 2004. They think they're going to do it again. I mean, McCain, Palin are Bush, Cheney. And I think that the American people have had enough of the lies and deceit. And here's the absolute answer for the American people. And I'll briefly go easy, it's so simple, it's right in front of us. The real change means a vote for Obama and Biden. I mean, people go, you know, aren't they all the same? No, look at the difference. Can you think of if Gore had been president in the year 2000? Think where we'd be now. Think of where we'd be if Kerry was president. And here's, by the way, a real quick fact. And those who are into economics, and this is a fact, since every time we've had a Republican president, by the way, people with businesses and homeowners and whatnot, yes, every time we've had a Republican president since even Hoover, I have either a depression or a recession. And every time we've had a Democratic president, yeah, every single time we've gotten out. Now, why do I say Obama? Because Obama has a plan for you, and it's specific. It tells us, it's extremely simple. Obama wants to create the same economics that JFK planned. It was to remove taxes from 90% of America. Yeah. So when they say they're going to increase taxes and he's going to increase it, no. He's increasing the top 1%. The people who are making $250,000 or more. I mean, maybe not a little bit more than 1%, but people making $250,000 or more, yeah, they're going to pay more taxes. 90% of you don't make that. You are going to get paying less tax. It's called trickle-up economics. It's the JFK plan. And, of course, FDR used it, and so did President Clinton used trickle-up economics. And you can see what had happened every time we used trickle-up economics. Every time we've had triple-up economics, people prospered. Look how we were in the 90s. Look how we were in the 60s. Look what happened after FDR, how we got out of the Depression. And it's not just because we were in a war. You know, you put the New Deal, but it put people, put food on the plate. It put money on the table. It put people back to work. And people, when people have money, what do? They spend it. They put it in savings accounts. They have their positives. And who benefits also with that? Businesses. So if you're a businessman or a woman, that's going to help you. That's called trickle-up economics, the fact. But the other thing he'll be helping us with, he provides, and by the way, he has a specific, like I said, economic plan. You can even check the detail of it. He specified it. I'm going briefly over it. I mean, you just go to his website, I think it's barackobama.com, and check it out. He has a specific plan. Look at McCain. He has no specific plan because his plan is the same as Bush. Now, let's talk about health care, which I think is... Me, I had, by the way, you know, from prior, I was hospitalized with a pancreatic attack. Now I'm here, I have several thousand dollars I have to pay in copay. So even if you have insurance, you can go bankrupt, man. Now I know what people say they can go bankrupt from all the copay. So even if you have insurance, you don't really have great insurance. And those who don't have insurance don't have any insurance or really in a bad circumstance. But what does Barack Obama propose? A universal health care, a program. Why does it tell me every time the Republicans, oh, we can have that, oh, my God, what, the government having a insurance plan? What the hell you think they're on? Yeah. You know, the state, the Senate and the Congress are utilizing a health plan for their own. It's a government health plan. They pay out. Yeah. And go out and find out how much copays they pay. Nada. Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. They have such a bad plan. You don't hear them complaining about their health care plans. Come on. And that's what Barack Obama wants us to say. If you don't have a health, you can keep yours, but if you want, you can use ours. I like it. John McCain likes it. George Bush likes it. So why can't they give it to us, too, the American people? And regarding foreign affairs, my God, this guy is, I mean, I lived overseas. I lived in Israel. I know what foreign affairs are because I lived it. I lived in the, I saw, I was there when Lebanon happened. I saw little RPGs flying back and forth between Sunni, Shiite, Christian, Druze, and of course to us, to the, when I lived there. And I was there when the Marines got killed, all 400 of them, or I think it was 400, sorry, or a lot of them, over 100. God, I forget now the exact number. What's the number? Got one, even when one gets killed. But of course, Reagan didn't do anything about it. Oh, that was by Hezbollah. So what have they done? And he will get us out. He will get us out of Iraq. He has a specific plan. He has coordination. And what does this mean for, and of course, the energy policy? He wants Godspeed ahead to go to an energy policy. So it's up to you. You know, I went briefly into that. I mean, he has plans. There is only one thing you can do, the lighten thing. I said there's choices to make. There are choices in the, as an American to make. This is a spiritual choice. It's the opportunity to make things different. It is clear. It's so clear. Because you have now a book to look at, a clear history. You can see what John McCain and Palin represent and what they not just represent, but they are. They are Judge, they are W, you know, they are George W. Bush. Repeat. They are Cheney. Repeat. And you, we have now the opportunity to go here. We're now going to have a change. You know, all I can say for everyone, look at your bank account. It doesn't take a, you don't have to be even spiritually involved. Look at your situation, your friends, your neighbors, your family about foreclosures. Look at your health care. Are you really secured if, you, God forbid, you get ill? Are you, or even if you're afraid you might lose your health care? We're on the verge of possible economic collapse. We will collapse if we have McCain. I guarantee you. And right now, there's only one choice. One clear choice toward the light, a path of enlightenment, and that's voting for Barack Obama. Pure and simple. And don't wait. Go register. It's your... It's not your... It's your. It's not just your privilege. It's not just your right. It is your responsibility for every all your votes will not just affect you, it affects people around you, the world, your children, your grandchildren, and so on. What happens on November will determine where we will be in our country. Where will we be ahead? Will your children and children be better off than you will? Tell me this. Are you better off? Are you okay? Are you better off the last 8 years as you compared to the 90s? Were you wealthier or economically a lot better situation? Don't you want change? Change means growth. Real change means prosperity. Real change means Barack Obama, backward, conservative, going backward, staying the same, or worse, which will be worse, is McCain. So there's only one choice. And I'll tell you right now, it is the vote for Barack Obama for President of the United States and Biden as our Vice President. And I hope you all, and I believe in the American people, will make the correct choice. God bless you all, and please vote for Barack Obama. It's our opportunity to make change, real change. Again, God bless you, and have a great, great weekend. Thank you. Bye.